Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Hi, Jim Carrigan. Dennis, I know that some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey. Could you tell them, for example, what is icing?
Well, icing happens when the puck come down, bang, you know, before the other guys, nobody there, you know. My arm go comes out, then the game stopped, then start up.
I see. What is high sticking?
High sticking happen when the guy take the stick, you know, and he go like that. You know, you don't do that.
You don't do that?
Oh, no, never, never.
Why not?
Against the rules. You know, you're stupid when you do that. Just some English pig with no brain
Dennis,
at all, you know.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah, and for a trip also, you know, like that, and for hook, like this, and for spear, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The Chiefs are at home tonight against Cyanusport at the War Memorial at 8. Good seats are still available.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. To Mike, it's not just another banana peel, it's future dirt. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I don't know whether to bring out the dinger first or the frog. I'm not sure I do that very well. Still got, you got to actually practice on this. There we go. That's better. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and I've got my Kolatex to keep me warm here. Guess who's in the control booth over there? It is none other. This is like it's old home week here.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Carthol, who has dropped in from the wilds of Colorado and the wilds of Wisconsin.
And bringing it all back home.
That's right. To tell us about his adventures, rainstorms.
Rainstorms and brainstorms.
And being sick as a dog and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it was fun times. Still is. It's all fun times.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, because I want to ask, you know, we've been talking the last couple of shows. We've had some commercials about Windhorse Retreat Center, and that's where Rob is working now. What's your title there?
Land steward.
Land steward. I like it.
Sounds nice.
It does sound good. I want to be a land steward.
Yeah,
I want an honorary degree from a university, and then I want to be a land steward as well. But you know, in no particular order.
We can help you out with those.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
I know you want me to show up there in June, because that is coming up. And we'll get to that in a second. But I was talking about the other morning, Kathleen and I made a little trip to Kolatex Bakery in Delhi. And, you know, they're a great sponsor here on WCPT. But this place is just amazing. It's actually a scary place to walk into because you're going to walk out with a lot of really good food. And we got a couple of breads that were out of this world. So we walk in, and Bart is there. And we run into Bart, and he's going, "Oh, your timing's perfect. The sausage just came out of this smoker." I'm like, "Oh, no." Yeah, so we got some of that, and it's awesome. We got some guumki. We got some couple of different kinds of bread. And he said, "Oh, we got one in the oven right now. It comes out in 20 minutes. Can you wait 20 minutes?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Yeah, for freshly baked bread? Yeah, I can wait for that." And so I've got some of that here this morning. Oh, and the kolachkis. I've got kolachkis here, too. I mean, it's ridiculous. The food is so good. It's just ridiculous. So hi to all the folks there. Beata was telling us how to what we were going to get. You don't. She's a very strong-willed woman behind the counter, and you don't argue with her about what you're taking out of that place. So, for those of you who've never been to Kolatex, you got to go. It's at Grand and Harlem, just north of Grand. It's right there, and you park in the back, and you go in and take your shopping cart, and you're going to come out with it full. I mean, with all the different breads and pastries and meats and organic stuff, you know, and locally sourced vegetables. It's just, it's, as they say, a foodie's paradise. That's what it is. So that's my commercial for them. It's just because I was there. And of course, yesterday I was out at the Native Plant Sale in Will County, the Bringing Nature Home, courtesy of the Forest Preserve District of Will County. And what a great group of people. And of course, Possibility Place, which provided the native plants there. And I found myself, if you go to my Facebook page, I walked out with a few of those plants. Paid for them. Don't get me wrong. Nobody was giving me nothing except a hard time. No, that's not true, because I met some wonderful, wonderful people who, you know, I did a little talk, and a lot of people just sat there and listened. It's like, okay, cool. I'll just start talking, and I'll stop when I stop. And a special shout out to, two shout outs, three, actually. Glenn, who was at Kolatex, who walks up to me, and you'll appreciate this, Rob, because I don't know, have you heard the Dino Mike thing that I've put together?
Not yet. Are we about to?
Sure. We got a second. Have you heard? You hear, you know, and regular listeners to WCPT have heard these commercials. And this has suddenly, last week, made its appearance on the Mike Novak Show.
BINOMIKE.com.
The Mike Novak Show.
Wait, that's...
Yeah, that was great.
That was the short version. Well, you know what? That's a tease. We'll just play that one. We'll just play the short version for now. I'll play the longer version later. Anyway, this guy, Glenn, is a listener. He walks into Kolatex. Out of the blue, "You Mike Novak?" I'm like, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." "Yeah?" "Ah, I love your Dino Mike." Okay. And turns out he's a listener, and he came to Kolatex because he heard it here. So that was really fun. And then yesterday, I met Deanna and Joshua, who were at the Native Plant Sale out in Will County, and got a photo with them on my Facebook page, Mike Novak. Not the show page, but the personal page. You can always friend me there or just like the Mike Novak Show on Facebook. And they were really sweet, and just a lot of great people there, and met the goat lady. Do you got goats up at the retreat there?
Not yet.
You got to have them, right?
Yeah, I might want a donkey.
Everybody wants a donkey. Everybody wants a goat. And there were just a ton of great folks yesterday. So I want to thank everybody who made that possible. On today's show, roses. Got any roses up in Windhorse?
Oh yeah.
I bet you got a few there.
Multiflora.
Oh, no, you're kidding. In case you don't know, folks, multiflora is the invasive.
It's the invasive plant of Wisconsin.
So is that part of the work, ripping those guys out?
No, that's always an option, yeah.
I mean, you want folks to come up there and work. We'll talk about that in a second. See, I keep teasing that so we can get to that. But I've got Susan Fox back on the show. Now, what's funny about her, because she was on, last time she was on was January 19th. And that's a funny time to talk roses. But, you know, she was talking about how to get them through the winter and preparing people. And she had just come out with her book. And I said, you know what, we'll talk to you again in June. Well, today's the first day of June. And June is traditionally National Rose Month. And did you know that the rose is the national floral emblem of the United States? Now, you would think England, perhaps, but it is here. People love their roses. Apparently, 85% of Americans say their favorite plant is the rose. 85%. I'm not one of those people. I like roses well enough. I'm not one of those people who say it's my favorite. At any rate, Susan Fox is here for the In the Green Room with Mike segment. Rick DeMille weather at 9:45. And then in the second hour, a conversation I am very eager to get to. And that is an event that's happening this coming weekend, next weekend. Friday, June 6th, Saturday, June 7th, especially on the 6th at the Chicago Botanic Garden is a seminar called Make Way for Monarchs, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I am going to have on the show this morning Kayrie Havens, who is the director of plant science and conservation at the Chicago Botanic Garden. She's going to be here in studio. And then on the phone, a couple of people I have wanted to talk to for a while. Chip Taylor, who's the founder and director of Monarch Watch, will be on the program. And Scott Hoffman Black, who's the executive director of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation, and they're based in Oregon. And I have wanted to talk to both of those people for some time. Not just about monarchs. Obviously, our monarchs are in trouble, and we're going to talk about how you can help. Get out there and get that milkweed planted. Monarch plant, actually.
Oh, yeah, milkweed. I mean monarch plant.
I mean monarch plant. It's a branding thing. You know, if we say both, we get to brand it. And we will talk to them about how you can help and what's going on. And I want to talk also, I'm going to bring up something that happened last year. And you were around, Rob, for that, which is when 50,000 bumblebees were killed in Portland. And the Xerces Society was one of the outfits that was investigating that. And I have some information on that.
Follow-up.
I have follow-up on that. And it's not good follow-up.
No, it's not.
No. Oh, you read it.
I was checking out the This Week on the Mike Novak Show page.
Yeah, so let's tease that. We don't have to tell people. Because we have no end of bad news that we can report on this show. So all of that's happening. I can see that Susan Fox is standing by. So let's start real quick by talking about Windhorse Retreat. Instead of me reading this stuff here, you tell me, because you are the steward.
Sure.
Up there. And what's Windhorse and why do you want people to go up there?
Well, the Windhorse Retreat Center is about a 36-acre retreat center up in the Kettle Moraine region of Wisconsin. It is situated on land. It's on about a 100-acre parcel that originally started out as what is called the High Wind Association, which was an attempt at having a little eco-community-type village in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those original members are still in the area. But as that has kind of transitioned, it has now been... it's been parceled out a little bit. So there's an organic CSA farm on that land. There's the Windhorse Retreat Center. There's the Bright Dawn Homestead, which is a Chicago Zen Center. And we're kind of incorporating a sort of a eco-village model in a kind of sustainability.
Are you setting up a permaculture community?
That is part of it, but it's there's definitely a lot of, these houses were all built with solar and wind and passive mm-hmm. solar incorporated into the structures when it was originally put together. And it is now the model of, kind of cooperation, neighbors like taking care of tending to land together.
Right.
So my 36-acre parcel is part of a 100-acre parcel.
When you say my 36-acre,
well, the
one you tend?
The land that I'm responsible for tending to, yes.
Okay.
Shambhala Homestead. And we have on there the spring.
It's not Shambhala, it's Shambhala.
Yeah, Three Dog Night was just a little bit off there.
I should play the music.
Yeah, we can hit that. In any case, I've been up there since April.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get the invasive species in check. I'm trying to...
Like the roses, the...
roses, wild parsnip. There's a lot of...
you wrote to me about wild parsnip. You're really concerned about that up there.
Well, that one's a nasty one because it leaves you with a pretty, pretty serious chemical burn, really, is kind of what you get out of that one. So, you want to use caution. And dealing with any invasive species, whatever you're doing out there, caution is always foremost.
Sure.
But, if we're going to have a campground out there, we want to really make sure that the invasive species are in check. If, there is poison ivy on the land too, I've got to take care of that. Now, that one's a native plant that is not necessarily harmful unless it is where humans are going to be camping or hiking.
Mm-hmm.
So, all of these things have their considerations taken into play.
So June 13th to 20th, you've got what you call a crash course in permaculture. It's stewardship retreat week. You're welcoming people to come out there. They can camp or they can go to nearby facilities, whatever they feel like doing.
We have lodging at the retreat center. We have, there is the bioshelter, which was built in the 70s as a sort of a passive solar greenhouse, habitable living space structure. That is the building that Windhorse uses as our retreat center. We have some registration booked already for this free open house retreat week, but we do still have lodging available indoors. And if you want to bring a tent, we've got land and land to camp out on, and we probably have a couple tents available. But it's going to be a fun time. Like I said, it is, it's kind of an open house aspect to it. There are acres and acres of projects to tend to.
So if you went up there, you'll be able to be, you'll keep busy.
I will.
You'll make sure of that.
And when I have the registration, another week or so, I'll probably send out a little email to everyone and, identify skill sets and see what people are interested in learning, because there will be work to do when the week is over. And so what I can get people to do in that week, I obviously want to focus on what people are interested in learning, because I could do a hugelkultur berm. We could do a whole intensive invasive weed identification. There's a lot of opportunity to get involved with stuff there. There's also the bioshelter, which needs, if people want to learn about what is passive solar and how do we maintain this like 30-year-old house that has, it's a 30-year-old house that has some issues, but, how do we
bring Cowgill out there?
Efficient. Yeah, we could line him up.
I'm sure he's listening. I'm sure he's thinking he wants to go out there and help. At any rate, folks can go to Windhorse Retreat Center on Facebook, follow them on Twitter at Windhorse RC. You could also go to windhorse.shambhala.org, but you would have to know how to spell Shambhala.
Shambhala.
It's sticking that extra H, and it just messes everything up. Or just write to me, and I'll put you in touch with Rob. All right, we got to get to Susan here. Coming up, stand by with your roses. We've got some great advice, and we'll talk to you in just a second.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs. Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden. Dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
BINOMIKE.com.
The Mike Novak Show.
Okay, I had to slide that in there. Let's go to the phones. And Susan Fox, good morning.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm sure it's beautiful in central Illinois, the way it's beautiful up in Chicago this morning.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. It's been really beautiful. The weather's just perfect. It was cool, and then it was just suddenly summer. How about there in Chicago?
Yeah. Well, the problem is if you're near the lake, you really haven't felt that as much. Because we still get that lake breeze, and Rick DeMaio will talk to us about that in a little bit. But, you know, I was away from the lake yesterday out in Will County, and it was warm. And it did feel like summer. Let's start there because Susan Fox is a Rosarian, and she's the author of Four Seasons of Roses, the 2014 Monthly Guide to Rose Care. Here we are in June, June 1st, and of course, June is National Rose Month. I put some of the, I went to your blog, and you can get a link to that by going to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you'll have all kinds of different information. And Susan's site is gagasgarden.com, G-A-G-A-S garden.com. And as we found out in January, that's because all the good grandma names were taken, right?
Exactly. As they're saying, you know, they say repetition is a good tool of learning. And I told, for my first little granddaughter, I said, Grandma, Grandma, Grandma. And the first thing she called me, I think I told you, Mike, was on the phone. She said, hi, Boggy. And she...
Boggy?
Doggy. No,
oh, doggy. Doggy.
Yeah, the first thing was doggy. And then she realized she had a doggy. And I wasn't it. So then, she changed it to Gaggy. And I thought, you know, you're so smitten with that first grandchild. I thought, well, she can call me anything she wants. But it then changed to Gaga. And I've been Gaga ever since. So that's why Gaga's Garden.
Gagasgarden.com. Yeah. And you'll find all that information. And you put some facts there about roses, and I didn't realize this, it's the 100th anniversary of the Rose Garden at the White House, and it was Ellen Wilson, wife of President Woodrow Wilson, who replaced a colonial garden established by First Lady Edith Roosevelt in 1902, so in 1914 she said, rip that thing up, It's a new administration. We're putting in roses. But that has stuck ever since there. Mm-hmm. We've had the Rose Garden. In fact, you know, you can't have a press conference without being in the Rose Garden.
No, it's so central to so many talks, isn't it? It's the president in the Rose Garden. It's the conference in the Rose Garden. I know. It's just, it's key messages are sent from the Rose Garden.
And I don't think folks understand it had to get started someplace. So that was it. By the way, if folks have a Rose question, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. 773-763-9278. We might be able to squeeze a couple in there. I noted that in 1986, President Ronald Reagan signed a proclamation that made the rose the national floral emblem. Now, is there a difference between being the national floral emblem and being the national flower?
No, it's the same thing. But, you know, if I recall, you know, what was interesting about that, I was a member of the Northeastern Illinois Rose Society right there along the North Shore where, you know, where we both live. And Don Ballantyne.
I beg your pardon. I do not live along the North Shore.
Well, you live around there.
I live in Logan Square, smack in the middle of the city of Chicago.
Okay, you're going to split hairs, but you know we're all.
You're going to get yourself in trouble. That's because, you know, for you downstaters, you think that everything's the North Shore.
Well, I lived 38 miles as the crow flies. It was in the country then. You know, I lived 1 mile from the lake. Mm-hmm. You know, people away from there, when you say the lake, they don't know what you're talking about, but everybody there does. So
yes, that's true. That is true. For people in other parts of the country, they do not understand how big, well, first of all, how big this lake is, Lake Michigan, and any of the the Great Lakes, and how much influence they have on everything that goes on here, especially climate. You know, as I said, right now, you're in the middle of summer, and some places along the lake, maybe not today, but even in the past week, have been pretty cool because of the influence of the lake.
And, you know, Mike, you have no idea how much you will miss a large body of water until I move to Texas, and you are so landlocked, and you don't realize how much of an influence. If you grew up and you were born right by a very large body of water, you have no idea. You feel that impact all the time. There's that lake effect. You know, you smell it, you feel it. The fog comes in. You can actually hear the, the ships. You know, you can hear everything. It has effect in every way, and you don't realize it. Yes, you don't realize it until you move away. And I really miss it. I miss the lake. So, and you would too if you moved away.
Oh, I would. I absolutely would. But you've been a really busy gal the last few weeks. You just got back from Biltmore. Biltmore.
I know. That's my picture while I was judging the fragrance.
Yeah. If you go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show. The very first picture is of Susan sniffing roses in Asheville, North Carolina at the Biltmore Rose Trials. And what was that like?
It was really incredible. The Biltmore, Paul Zimmerman is a consultant. Paul Zimmerman is an author of Everyday Roses, and he is a consultant with the director of horticulture is Parker Andes, and Lucas Jack is the rosarian and trials manager, and they and Leanne Donnelly, their marketing director, they conduct international rose trials, so they have roses from all over the world, and they invite rosarians from all over the world to judge these roses. It's not the normal rules that are from a rose show. They want people. It's not just like people that are judging at a show, but you judge every aspect of the rose, the growing habit, fragrance, and it's pretty intense. So people from everywhere go, and then it's tallied, and then it's announced. And I can tell you that without a doubt, the very best roses I feel won. I would feel very confident telling anyone to, when these roses are available, and some of them are, because the best established rose was judged, and they were wonderful, just wonderful roses, and they're judged on disease resistance, hardiness, form, and growth habit and fragrance. So, and those winners were announced. Paul Zimmerman gave us the list, you know, right that day, and you know, people from the American Rose Society, the president, Jolene Adams, the vice president were there. I mean, this is what Jolene Adams said when I came in. She said, "Susan, I'm going to introduce you to rose royalty." And I said, "Well, I thought you were royalty, you know, the queen and you know, the queens were all there, you know, Pat Chanley." So it was really, I was really honored, and we got some great information, because I know that you said this, but Parker Andes, who's the director of horticulture, told me himself that they got below zero in Asheville, North Carolina, and some of these roses were severely damaged, and I got to see the bloom, you know. So that's, we got to minus eight below here in central Illinois.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of unusual for them, I imagine, in Asheville, North Carolina. So it really did test those roses. Now, I see that the number one overall best in show was called Miracle on the Hudson. Is that correct?
Yes. And it was, it's magnificent. And for your listeners who know roses, you know, I just have a habit of comparing things. But if you know you're a piano or showbiz, it had kind of a growth habit like that. It was just a beautiful, and I have pictures on my website, and there's pictures on the Biltmore. And I know other, my friends from Rose Chat, I know that Chris Van Cleef and Teresa were posting pictures, and other people were putting them up there. But that rose looks kind of like European and showbiz with a yellow center, and had a similar growth habit. And I've got pictures posted that, you know, I would very, I could recommend that rose and know that people will be able to grow that. And it didn't have, that's a no-spray garden. You know, I know that you are, I listened to your, you know, listening to your broadcasts, how much work that you do for the environment, Mike. And I wanted to say that my garden with roses was full of butterflies yesterday. So I just want to tell you, roses attract butterflies, and that garden out in the Biltmore, I didn't see any disease on Miracle on the Hudson, and very little disease on these roses, because they put in roses that are minimal care. And this is important for people, because they tell me, when I ask people, you know, most people say, "I want a rose garden." And if I say, "Well, why don't you have roses?" they say, "I think they're hard to grow." So the work that Paul Zimmerman and Parker Andes and Lucas Jack, you know, the work that they're doing is important to gardeners everywhere that want to add roses.
Well, let's talk about some of the other roses that you saw there that you liked. Yeah, obviously, Miracle on the Hudson was best in show, but there were a lot of other good ones. And what are the other ones that you would recommend?
Well, they said, and I wasn't aware of this, but Jolene Adams said, she wrote, "We all knew James Delahanty from the American Rose Society because he's passed on and had done so much work. But he was hybridized that rose that's a polyantha, and they said it's the first time that a polyantha has won, and it's called Puka, and it's the prettiest little thing."
All right, wait, you got to spell that. I can't. How do you spell that?
P-O-O-K-A-H. And I have
as in Harvey, like, the rabbit.
I don't know. I hadn't heard the name.
Puka,
maybe.
It's a he's a polka, yeah. That's what Jimmy Stewart said, yeah.
Okay. Have you heard that name, P-O-O-K-A-H?
Yeah, it's from the play, and which became the movie Harvey, and it's a 6-foot invisible rabbit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wonderful, because it's the most gorgeous rose. And I put a close up of it, but I've got another picture, because it's right next to Bajazzo, can you think what a wonderful name, Bajazzo? It was covered, every inch of Bajazzo, a climber by Cords, which is named the best climber. It's right next to it. So you walk up, and it's stunning. Here is this polyantha that is easily 5 feet across, covered in the most magnificent roses.
Okay, I want you to explain to our listeners, because not everybody's a rose enthusiast, what a polyantha is.
Well, here, I'm going to give the official description.
Give me your description. We don't need an official. What do you consider a polyantha?
It's a smaller rose, and it grows, this rose grew, it's spreading. It spreads out all over. This grew like a shrub. It's more like a little shrub that grows in a spreading fashion. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You know, and I don't give you a, and that's the first time that they, that a polyantha has ever won the best in, any award at the Biltmore Rose Trial. So that's big news. And that James Delahunty, who's so loved, I mean, he won it posthumously, but we're glad. Everybody was happy about that.
Uh-huh.
Here's the best way to describe it. It's kind of like, they're generally smaller. I got the book now. But sturdy, with large clusters of small 1-inch diameter blooms, often used for massing and edging. So they're like a smaller floribunda.
Okay.
Which I love. I love floribundas. So you see, what a perfect plant. And I didn't see any disease on that plant.
And that's probably why it won. We only have a couple more minutes, but I want to get...
I've got so much to tell you.
Yeah, I know it, but you know what? Folks are just going to have to go to your blog and take a look, because you've got all the photos, you've got all the information, and they can go down the list. But what I wanted to talk to you about real quick is being the roses you planted in the fall... in central Illinois, that you said yourself, you usually don't plant them in the fall. And then, of course, we have this 130-year winter. Why did you plant them in the fall, and how did they do?
Well, I had been talking on Twitter with Shannon Springer, and she's with Spring Meadow and Proven Winners. And, she kind of talked me into, like, why don't you just go ahead and, I was invited to speak about roses to the Twin Cities Rose Club, and I went up there to talk about them, and I came home, and Dr. David Slezak, who's a hybridizer of Oh So Happy Roses, sent me some roses, and so I get them in the fall. What are you going to do with them? You can't just put them in the garage. I guess I could have potted them. So I decided, all right, I'm going to do this test. Other people plant fall roses, and I dedicated this little garden called the Dr. David Slezak Roses, and Shannon sent me some roses, and voila, I'm a fall planter. And then if you want to see, I posted on Twitter this pink cupcake, an Italian ice. They're the cutest things you ever saw. And they just think, I plant these adorable roses called Oh So Happy, Pink Cupcake, Italian Ice. They have names like that, Lemon Zest, Candy O, and put them in the ground late fall. They survive, and they're beautiful, and they've got the cutest little blooms that you can imagine. And this is important, Mike, because roses are expensive, and they're perennials, so you don't have to go out. And I started replacing my annuals, like border begonias, with plants like this. So I just planted all these little Oh So Happy roses in my brick planter, because I don't want to keep buying expensive annuals. And then I don't want to get off the phone without telling you that probably one of the most sensational rose gardens I ever saw was P. Allen Smith's. That looked like the rose garden in Versailles in Paris. I mean, he thinks big. And his garden survived. Well, Little Rock winter was pretty bad, too.
Yeah, so, I'm waiting for my invitation from P. Allen. I think it got lost in the mail.
If they listen in, Mimi, his marketing person, and Lauren, they're the smartest people I ever saw. And that is a totally sustainable farm, P. Allen Smith. They use everything. And you saw that picture with that rooster.
Edward. Oh, yeah. We've got a picture of of Susan with P. Allen Smith and a rooster named Edwin. It's kind of hard telling P. Allen Smith and the rooster apart, but you'll figure it out.
Well, and also, if you go to my website, they had us dancing all over Little Rock, and they filmed, and P. Allen does the most amazing dance. There is a video on my website that is so funny, because every single one of some of the best garden writers in the country, this their videographer just kept saying, they played that great song, Happy, 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 and that he kept saying, okay, dance.
Which I just found out about last week for the first time, that Happy song. I had never heard of the guy. I had never heard of the song. And then suddenly I see this YouTube. It's got 260 million hits on it. And I said, how did I miss this? But I did. Well,
you can see me dancing. I did chair dancing in the front of Little Rock on my website with P. Allen, and we danced. And you know what? It is just, it's on my website on the right-hand side. Just click it.
All right. And well, you know what? I tell you what, folks should do that. They should go to your website. They can go to gagasgarden.com. On Twitter, you're at gagasgarden. They can pick up your book, which I'm sure you're still selling, right? Four Seasons of Roses,
yes.
2014 Monthly Guide to Rose Care.
It's on Amazon, and you can get it through my website, too. And
excellent.
And you know what? And I do answer questions. If you put a question on Twitter or on website, you know, I'm a consulting rosarian. I take it seriously. I answer questions.
Good.
I'm committed to help people. So
people should take advantage of that, right, to Susan? And if you got your rose questions, you know, if it had a tough winter, talk to Susan. Everybody had a tough winter, you know, some did better than others. Susan, it's always great talking to you, happy Rose National Rose Month, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. We'll talk again, and maybe as we get into fall, we start to talk about winding down with roses.
Yes, and because every day here during Rose Bloom is happy hour, is wine and rose tours, and it's really a gorgeous, maybe one of these days you can get out here, Mike. So
I'd like that. You're talking my language. All right, Susan, you have a great Sunday and a great month, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Mike.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
In the Green Room.
You dig.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
In the game of organic gardening, it's pirates versus bugs. Of course, I'm talking about Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. If Rob weren't on the phone right now. Hey, Rob, can you give me an R? R.
Arr.
All right, thank you very much. Bonides, all organic insect control, contains spinosad, a product first isolated from a naturally occurring soil-dwelling bacterium that was collected on a Caribbean island from an abandoned rum distillery. You can't make this kind of stuff up. This fast-working and effective product works two ways, on contact or when the insect feeds. Captain Jack's controls all kinds of insects like caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, borers, and more. You can use it on vegetables, berries, and other fruit, flowers, trees, and shrubs. Captain Jack's all-organic insect control comes in an easy-to-use dust or liquid concentrate, as well as ready-to-use and ready-to-spray containers that have built-in applicators. Pick up some of Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew today at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, Graff Gardens in Worth, and Bertholdt's in Elk Grove Village, or go to bonide.com to find a retailer near you.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Welcome to June, folks. Feel free to plant your tomatoes in the snow. Wait, okay, actually, I wrote that 2 weeks ago when I figured that summer was going to skip Chicago this year. It still might, you never know. However, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a copy of the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine handy, just in case we have a close encounter with 80 degrees or even higher. And hokey smokes, my editor Carolyn Ulrich is at it again with her crazy ideas for outdoor containers. Now she's even putting orchids in them. Wait, okay, it's not her. Woo, that was close. She's just reporting what a guy named Scott Sullivan from a design group called Topiarius suggested. And he mixes in some mighty interesting annuals, some of which you might already use. Of course, because orchids are involved, you cannot overwater and you cannot put them in full sun, which might have a lot of you saying, that's for me. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Is that for you? To find out, pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600. And I am your local DJ, Mike Novak. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We go to the phones, bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. Rick, good morning. And it's climatological.
Welcome to June.
What?
Yeah, welcome to June. I know you're going to say it's climatological
summer.
You did it right.
I know, because you would beat up on me if I said if I did the Tom Skilling thing and said, "Oh, today's the start of meteorological summer."
you know me. I love Tom, and he's not the first one to do that, and everybody does that. But I was talking to Rob off the air as he was hooking me up, and he was like, "You know, June kind of like came out of nowhere, and it's almost like I always like to think of June 1st as like December 26th. You know, it's the day after Christmas. You wake up, you look out under the tree, and there's all these presents and the wrapping paper is everywhere. And you go, it was only a few weeks ago that the tree wasn't there. The presents weren't bought. They weren't wrapped. The next thing you know, boom, it's Christmas. And you look outside and boom, everything has bloomed out like crazy, hasn't it, Mike?
It is kind of amazing. It is, yeah, because you didn't think anything was good. But, it's, you know, still some things are coming out a little still slowly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trees are still a little bit, you know, a little bit behind. And I know you were talking before to the rose expert. I forgot her name. Like, what was the
Susan,
name?
Susan.
Susan, right. And she was talking about P. Allen Smith. I think that was one of my favorite things about watching the Weather Channel was when I had the Weather Channel, which was listening to P. Allen Smith just say who he was. I'm P. Allen Smith. I mean, who names their kid P, first off? I mean, if you're going to have a kid named P with the middle name of Alan, that is, you'll become our expert on roses, right?
I'm P. Ellen Smith.
Yeah, I'm P. Ellen Smith. It's one of those things. I don't know. Like you're not going to be a rose expert, and your name is, you know, Bernie Carbo or something like that. I don't know. It's one of those things. By the way, he played for the Red Sox back in the 60s and 70s. But anyway, yeah, you know, it's June. It's beautiful. And it's amazing, too, because, like, now you get to see all the different shades of green, all the different perennials that come up, the hostas, the variegated dogwoods, the different types of, you know, your maples and your elms and your oaks. And this is a time of the year where people need to get out and look around and go, holy smoke, the world is a beautiful thing. And as you play every day off the top of the show there, you know, good planets are hard to find. I really think it's the early part of June is when you really begin to appreciate, you know, what Mother Nature gives us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really not much that we have to do to make it nice. There's a lot we can do to screw it up. But it's one of these things where you look around, you go, holy smoke, it got warm, it got green. And you know what? Nature's pretty darn gone pretty, isn't it?
Yeah. And the other thing that happens at this time of year is you start to smell if you're in an area where and it's not just smoke and stuff, but you can smell the outdoors. And well, you know, we drove through Stickney yesterday on the way back from.
I don't know.
I'm not busting Stickney in particular. It's just that just happened to be the place where we kind of went, wow, right. Roll up the windows. Wow.
Right, yeah. Stickney is not the kind of place you go, I bought my fragrance from Stickney. You know, you're supposed to buy it from like Lejeune or something
Like
that. That's where you were for the Will County native plant sale, right?
Well, yeah, on the way back, yeah, because traffic was horrible. I said, let's get off. Let's get off the freeway, and we'll take some surface streets, and ended up traveling through Stickney. You know, that's the way those things go sometimes.
Yeah, and when you think about it, you know, I always like to do a little bit of a climatological recap of, you know, the previous month being at it. Now it's the 1st of May, or the 1st of June, rather. And the month of May, surprisingly enough, turned out to be above average, which is something that you think about. I mean, last week I talked about the number of 40s that we had, the number of 50s, number of 60s. We had several days in the 70s. We finished out the month on a warm note with a high 88 yesterday. Over here, it actually hit 90 at Rock for the first time it's done that all year. And in this month, we also had snowfall. So it's pretty amazing how quickly you can go from what was starting out to be a pretty lousy month to what ended up being a month where it was a degree above normal, and we had 5 inches of rain, and we got it at intervals where it didn't create flooding, because you remember this time last year we were talking about the fact that we had, you know, flooding in the month of April, early May. The ground was basically mushy. The farmers had an awful time. And as we head into the month of June here, you wouldn't have thought that the month of May was a bad month, but we ended up with 7 feet of snow this last winter. Everything from a climatological standpoint, both temperature and precipitation, is proving out to be extremely beneficial for your weekend gardeners, your Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday gardeners, and particularly your farmers as well. And I think that's going to bode well, because we need to have a good growing season here in the Midwest, because we know it's not going to be a good one out in California with the ongoing drought out there.
That I'm so glad you went in that direction, because that was going to be my comment, is that if it's really, really nice here, it better be, because California in particular is in real trouble. And I know Annie Haven is listening out there and dealing with some of that. In fact, Annie, if you want to tweet about conditions there, or that would be fine. But what I'm also, because we're going to be talking monarchs in the second hour, what about Texas and places south that the monarchs have to migrate through? They're still in drought as well.
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing, Mike, because they had actually had 3 to 4 days of persistent rains across western Texas, and some of those areas that were in what's called exceptional drought have now been brought down to what's called extreme drought, which is not as bad as exceptional drought. And it's oddly enough, when we got really warm early in the month of May, it was because the air basically came over that dry plateau of western Texas and Oklahoma, and it was a lot of concern that was going to be at the kind of start of what could have been a period of very, very dry weather. But in fact, that area that got very wet over the last 3 to 4 weeks, or actually my last 3 to 4 weeks, probably more like 10 to 15 days, is actually going to help out keeping us from getting too hot too soon. So instead of us having what we had, these flash droughts last summer,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. Even though we'll get a couple of good days of rain this weekend, or this week rather, we're going to go right back into somewhat of a cooler, dry pattern by the end of the week, which will be beneficial because you need that little bit of wetness, a little bit of drying period to keep things going. And that's pretty much where we're headed. So improving conditions across the Southern Plains in the short term, long term, still the jury is still out on that. In fact, the Hurricane Center came out and said it looks now that we're going to have somewhat of a near to below average hurricane season for the Atlantic. You wouldn't know it for the Pacific because we just had a Category 4 hurricane pass harmlessly well south of Mexico. But that's pretty much indicative of the fact that the ocean temperatures are really, really warm. However, you need three things for tropical storms: warm ocean waters, low-level convergence, and upper-level weak winds. The last one, the upper-level weak winds, we won't have. That's because the pattern is such that there's very, very strong wind in that part of the atmosphere, and that will probably hinder the development of tropical storms in the western Pacific, or I say the eastern Pacific, and also the western Atlantic. So in short, if we don't get as many big storms across the western Atlantic for hurricanes, that's a good thing, but it also keeps us from getting into what appears to be a long-term period of warm weather. So really we're looking at almost near normal conditions for the rest of the summer around here from a standpoint of temperature and rainfall.
All right, and let's recap this week coming up.
Okay, so short-term forecast, basically 88 today, shower and thunderstorm activity. Hopefully it won't get too much lightning where it's going to impact the ability to get the Hawks game later in tonight, right? But looks like wet weather tomorrow and then cooler weather during the day on Tuesday with temperatures only in the 60s, and then dry weather Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all 3 days, my temperatures generally right around 70 degrees. So taste of summer and then back to spring by the end of the week.
See, it's just a tease because it's not officially summer yet. It's just climatological summer.
There you go. Ring the bell for yourself. Nicely done.
Okay. Rick DeMaio.
You can sponsor your own show there, right?
That's right. I sponsor myself. Rick DeMaio, thank you so much. Have a great Sunday. We'll talk next week.
Okay. Take care, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Second hour, as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about the plight of the monarch butterfly and other pollinators, what you can do to make things better. So stick around for that.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
And nothing gets me down. You got it tough. I seem the toughest so around.
That's what I call butterfly music. welcome back to the show, the Mike Novak Show, on a beautiful Sunday morning. As you heard Rick DeMaio, it's going to be nice, coolish. It's my kind of summer weather. That's what I like. And I'm very happy to have in the studio with me Kay Havens from the Chicago Botanic Garden. Now, sometimes you go by and pull that microphone just so you can talk right into it. And you can pull it towards you as well. It won't break. I broke one last week, but that was a different story. Hi.
Hi.
It's great to talk to you again. Now, do you prefer Kay or Kayrie? What do you prefer?
Kay is fine.
Kay?
Mm-hmm.
Kayrie is a very interesting, odd name.
It is. My grandmother made it up.
Oh, did she really?
Yes.
And it just gets you in trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, you know, nobody knows how to pronounce it, right? Nobody knows how to spell it.
Exactly.
I know how those things go. So K, mm-hmm. We'll go with K. You should know that K Havens, PhD, Dr. Havens, is the Director of Plant Science and Conservation at the Chicago Botanic Garden. And you and I haven't spoken on the radio since I was back at Gargantua Radio down the dial. So I'm so happy to have you here.
It's lovely to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. And I see that I'm looking that Rob seems to be having issues trying to get Chip Taylor. Is that what's going on? I hope we can get him. I hope I don't have the wrong number here, because of course we have our PR person here. So I tell you what, why don't you go around into the booth and make sure that Rob's got the just pull hard that door. It's like being in a meat locker here. You can't get out once you're in. So we'll do that. But I wanted to take care of a couple of things before we get into our conversation. And I want to thank Helen, who's been working with me on this. She's kind of a new team member. Hey, over there. And she's put together a wonderful list of events coming up, because people send me stuff all the time and say, hey, you got to announce this on the show. And I don't always have time to do that. I do what I can. But there's a few here that I wanted to call to your attention. One of which is up at Rich's Fox Willow Pines. Everybody knows Rich and Susie Eyre. Hi, guys. And I'm sure somebody will tell them, hey, I heard you on Mike's show today. Because next Saturday, June 7th, they are having a hosta sale, and they do this. Hosta sale and Bolivian Arts and Crafts fundraiser. And they do these hosta sales all the time because all proceeds benefit Heifer International and Mano a Mano International Partners. And over the years, Rich and Susie have donated their time, energy, and especially money to those organizations. And it's at Rich's Fox Willow Pines, 11618 McConnell Road in Woodstock. Those of you in Woodstock know exactly what I'm talking about. Hostas are for sale at $5 and up. You can go to Rich's. Okay, let's make sure I got this right, because I'm going to type this in. I want to make sure that you have the Rich's Fox Willow Pines.com and see if it goes boom. Yes, it does. So there's an S in there. It's Rich's. You don't need an apostrophe for that. It's R-I-C-H-S, foxwillowpines.com, and you can find out all about this, and that's next Saturday. If you go at 11 a.m., you'll meet Mark Zillis, and Mark is the hosta king. This is the guy who's written two books, and one of them, it's kind of funny because one of the books he wrote on hostas has thousands of hosta varieties in there, and it took him like 17 years to put together. He'll be there. And here's another thing you can do. At 10 a.m., you can bring a hosta leaf, and they'll identify it for you. And I don't know, Kay, if you've ever had that problem, but I have hostas in my yard that I can't identify anymore. I lost the tag, and they're so similar sometimes it's hard to tell them apart.
It's true, they are.
And you need to have an expert do that. That's going on there, too. So that's next Saturday. Another thing I wanted to mention, let's see, where are we here? Oh, yeah, at the Clem Arboretum. I got this information from Dan Riggs, executive director out there. Friday to Sunday, next June 6th through 8th, that's next weekend, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m., it's their annual garden fair at the Clem Arboretum and Botanic Garden. And you can get in a three-day pass, and it's really cheap for adults, and the kids are free. And there's going to be 50 vendors, 70 exhibitors selling everything for your garden, yard, and patio. Plants, yard art, kids, activities, food, and music. You can go more, find more at clem.org, K-L-E-H-M.org. One more thing I want to announce is the e-waste and hazardous waste collection. This is the Southeast Environmental Task Force is putting this together next Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m., at The Zone, which is 11731 South Avenue O in Chicago. It's a collection of waste materials for proper environmentally friendly disposal. And they're going to accept Hazardous materials which are properly sealed, textbooks, eyeglasses, TVs, stereo equipment, phones, computers, printers, microwaves, batteries, pesticides, pool cleaners, prescription meds, and more. No small appliances, needles, biohazards, latex. Actually, they tell you now with the latex to let it dry and then they put it in a landfill. And okay, what can I tell you? That's what they tell me to do. No cleaning products, caulk. So at any rate, that is 11:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Zone, 11731 South Avenue O in Chicago. Next Saturday, and if you want more information, call the Southeast Environmental Task Force at 773-646-0436, or you can find them online. And I'll get to some of these other events that are coming up when I can. So, as I mentioned, I've got Kay Havens from the Chicago Botanic Garden in the studio. I guess they're having an issue tracking down Chip Taylor. Okay, so we will do that. But meanwhile, we can bring in Scott Hoffman Black, who's the executive director of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. Are you with me, Scott?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And Kay is in the studio. And you guys next Friday are doing a day-long seminar on which is called Make Way for Monarchs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And as we know, the monarchs seem to be in trouble. And whether they are in serious trouble or it's a dip in the population, it doesn't look good right now, Kay, does it?
No, it doesn't. This symposium actually came about. Gary Paul Nabhan is a co-organizer of Make Way for Monarchs, and he talked to me about 8 months ago, said he was looking for venues in the Midwest to host talks and symposia about the plight of monarchs and what we can do to help recover them. And so that's how this symposium came to be. And Scott is one of the speakers. He'll be speaking both at the symposium on Friday and at our World Environment Day celebration on Saturday.
And that's the other thing we should mention is that next Saturday is World Environment Day. And you've got more going on. I mentioned Tom Skilling earlier in the show, and he's going to be there.
Right.
You got to get Rick DeMaio out there. Rick's great. Okay. Yeah, I know Tom's. Yeah, he's a rock star. But you know what? Rick is my guy.
Yeah. So we have both Tom Skilling and Don Wibbles in the morning talking about climate change.
Uh-huh.
And then at 1 p.m. we'll have Scott in the science building talking about Make Way for Monarchs and what you can do to help recover monarch populations. And in addition, we'll have Asclepias tuberosa, butterfly milkweed, for giveaway for attendees to both the symposium and Scott's talk on Saturday.
Oh, that's wonderful to give away.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Great. You know, I had an interesting thing. Maybe you can help me with this yesterday. And I think I was misinformed. And maybe Scott or UK can tell me. I was going to pick up some milkweed. And you know, my whole deal now is I call it butterfly plant. All right. We got to rebrand, Scott. Stop calling it a weed because people won't plant it. I mean, in Chicago, and you know about this, Kay, people have been fined for growing milkweed or butterfly or monarch plant in their front yards in Chicago, which is absurd because there's a real difference between turf grass that is overgrown and native plants. And if you can't tell the difference, you're not trying very hard. All right. It's the way I feel about it, but I could be wrong. But, you know, old habits die hard. And sometimes we need to just rename things so that people think about them in a different way. So if you called it monarch plant and you said, hey, everybody's got to put monarch plant in their yard, I think more people might step up and do it.
Yeah. And I couldn't agree more. And we've been calling it monarch flower.
Okay.
As a way to, because it's got a beautiful flower, and those flowers are beneficial for all sorts of bees, other butterflies, as well as monarchs, and the monarchs eat the plants. So I could not agree more. Let's stop calling it milkweed.
Yeah, just get it out of there. Get the whole thing because it just causes too many problems. And anytime you call anything a weed, they think, people think it's a weed, whether it's a beneficial plant or not. And monarch flower. Okay, I'll start using that. Maybe I have to amend my own marketing campaign here. Monarch flower smells wonderful. It's a beautiful plant, and it looks exotic. It is an exotic looking plant as well.
It's a lovely plant, and there are actually 19 species of milkweed native to Illinois, and you can find one that's suited to your conditions. Common milkweed, which is the monarch flower, can be a little bit aggressive in small spaces, but it's wonderful for larger grassland areas.
Yeah, but when you say aggressive, it's not a plant that is hard to dig out.
No, it's not. And it's invasive species.
Right. So. It's not. I mean, yeah, it can be aggressive. It'll move along. And so you don't want that many. You take a few out. It's not like buckthorn. Okay?
Exactly. It's not. and it has lovely flowers. And then there's swamp milkweed.
All right, and I need to stop you right there because Robbie Earhart from Mighty House, which is on Saturdays here, hey, Rob, just letting you know, we got a, thanks. Anyway, Robbie Earhart asked me to buy her some, milkweed. I'm sorry, monarch. God, this is hard. Monarch flower at the plant sale yesterday out in Will County. And the only thing they had was the Asclepias incarnata, which is the swamp monarch flower.
Yes.
And I didn't know whether she had wet soil, so I didn't get it. And then somebody, and I put that on Facebook, and somebody said, oh, come on, you can grow that stuff anywhere.
You can. It doesn't mind its feet wet, and in nature you find it in damper areas, but I have it growing right along the side of my driveway in a pretty dry area, and it's doing just fine.
I screwed up. Robbie, I'm sorry. Should have gotten those for you. I wanted them for myself as well, too, so... maybe I can get Kelsey Shaw. Kelsey Shaw, if you're listening, save a few of those plants for me, or I can get them someplace else. So that's another. There are various kinds of Asclepias that that you can plant. But that's part of our problem. Let's address the issue here. I mean, we want people to put monarch flower in their yards. Let's face it, we do. That would be a really, really good thing, but. Is that going to be enough?
I will. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
Well, I would say, so monarchs have declined by more than 90%. This is not a blip. Throughout the late 90s and early 2000s, we saw some ups and downs, but the last several years, it's just been down. And monarchs have gone from potentially half a billion animals, half a billion, which is pretty incredible, down to 33 million. 33 million, it sounds like a lot, but compared to the incredible numbers that we've had in the 90s, we are seeing severe declines. And if we're going to deal with this issue, we have to deal with it on all levels. It's wonderful, and we really encourage people to plant milkweed. But we also have to get milkweed back out into the larger landscapes in our farm areas, in our wild areas, and bigger patches of milkweed. Not just milkweed, though, all of the nectar plants that would go along with it, which fuel monarchs' flight, because they both need milkweed to eat to lay eggs on, and so the caterpillars can eat, and they need these other flowers to fuel their flight and their incredible migration.
You know, that's right, Scott. And if you go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show, I do a little rundown of the problems that monarchs are facing, and it seems as though it's threefold. There's a triple threat out there, okay? First is deforestation in Mexico of the area where they overwinter. Second, and I addressed this with Rick DeMille earlier in the show, drought in Texas and Oklahoma, in the central part of the country where monarchs have migratory routes. And third is the one you just talked about, Scott, which is lack of habitat, the loss of habitat. And I was talking to a guy yesterday out in Will County who's got a brother or a cousin or something that's got a farm, and we were talking about hedgerows, because I've talked about hedgerows on the show before and how important they might be. And he says, well, you know, I said, you got to tell your brother he's got to put some, leave some room for some of these plants, some hedgerows. He says, well, he tells me the equipment won't, it just doesn't allow for that anymore. It's too big. And I'm like, well, if we're at that point where we've built the equipment to exterminate our hedgerows and exterminate our boundaries where we have local habitat, we're screwed. You know, if it's all about putting in one more row of corn because we're going to get 10 cents for that, because the margin for survival for these farmers is that tight, we're done. We're cooked, because we're going to lose all of our pollinators. Scott, how do you address that?
Well, we address it by working with farmers, and I would contend that farmers do get it. So this one may not, but many, many do. You know, Xerces has 28 staff working across the country, working mostly with farmers, although also with land managers and gardeners. We've reached out to over 26,000 farmers and ag professionals since 2008 on this issue, both pollinators and monarchs. And we've worked with them to get more than 120,000 acres of new habitats. These are everything from hedgerows to flowering meadows, and tens of thousands of acres of them have milkweed in them. So I think that farmers are getting it. Their equipment is, I mean, we can work around equipment issues. You know, in the past, universities and others told them, though, that this habitat was not useful. And in certain times, universities told them that this habitat could be harmful by harboring pests of crops. That the information was wrong. But farmers are really, at least many of them that we work with, these are both conventional and organic farmers, really do see the importance of putting habitat back into these landscapes, which helps all the bees and the butterflies and the monarchs. I will add one more thing to your list, though, issues with monarchs, and that is pesticides.
Yeah, you're right. We have to. That has to be in there. Yes. Well, that's you know, that's kind of connected to the habitat area. But as you mentioned, we've gotten to this part, the situation where we have Roundup Ready plants, and so we spray Roundup more and more. And by the way, creating super weeds because we abuse the Roundup, and then of course it kills the pollinator attracting plants, and we're left with nothing but the corn and the soybeans. Right. Yeah, you're right. The pesticides have played a huge role in this.
Well, and all of those crops that you're talking about, the Roundup Ready, are also treated with what are called neonicotinoids.
Yes.
98% of the Roundup Ready corn and soybean is treated with these systemic insecticides. They're taken up into the plant. The pollen and nectar is affected and can affect both bees as well as butterflies. These neonicotinoids are the dust when they plant them blows off, and they're getting all into every place in the environment. So it's the Roundup Ready, but it's really the 1-2 punch of we're eliminating all of the habitat for these animals, and we're poisoning what's left of that habitat.
Amazing. I said something yesterday when I was speaking out at Will County, and it, I think more and more becomes evident. We introduced neonicotinoids into the system, around 2003, right? Something like that?
Well, the first ones came on the market actually in 1995.
But oh, okay.
In 2003, they were used really widely throughout the system.
Right. And colony collapse disorder became a problem in 2006. And it's kind of hard not to draw the line, connect those dots. It really is, because you figure it takes a few years for these chemicals to get into the our biosphere, as if you would. And then suddenly we're losing bees at an incredible rate. And we're also losing natural pollinators, aren't we, Scott?
Native. Yeah, the native pollinators are really in decline. Of course, we talked about the monarch with over 90% losing 90% of their populations. A new analysis that we have just completed working with scientists across the country shows that one-third of our bumblebees in North America are at risk of extinction. One-third. And that's huge, because these are animals that are very, very important for our agricultural production, but also vital for pollinating 85% of the flowering plants that are out there. And these flowering plants are what feed your songbirds. Everything from songbirds to grizzly bears eat the product of pollination. So we should all be concerned, and we should all be taking action.
Well, as Doug Tallamy says in his book, Bringing Nature Home, it's about insect biomass. We lose our insect biomass. We lose our birds. We lose our mammals. It just works its way up the chain. I think it's interesting, Scott, that you kind of called out some of the old practices, which, you know, weren't particularly forward looking. That hedgerows might actually be dangerous is a silly idea when you think about it, because it was all focused on the pests. What is the pest that's going to hurt the crop? And and we have to look at a bigger picture than that in a more sustainable system. On the phone is Scott Hoffman Black, who's the executive director of the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation. You guys are based in Portland, is it?
Well, we've got offices all across the United States. Our closest office to you is in Minnesota, but we've got Nebraska, North Carolina, and I can't think of them all, New Jersey, Texas, California, and our main office is Portland, Oregon.
Right. Kay Havens, Director of Plant Science and Conservation at Chicago Botanic Gardens, here in the studio with me. And what I want to, there's two things I want to get to, and we'll do it in just a second. One is I want to talk more about what we're going to do on next Friday, and Kay, I'll let you handle that. But I've got a challenge for you, Scott, because I've been following this story out of Oregon for the past year, the 50,000 bumblebees that died because of neonicotinoids that you were just talking about. And my follow-up is not a good one, all right? And you might know where I'm going, and you might not know where I'm going, but we'll get to that in a second. So I hope folks will stick around for that. Now, if you are interested in changing the world, and who isn't, you could do a lot worse than to follow the model of Julie Rizzo from Recycled Granite. She's the woman who in 5 years has figured out how to keep 30 million pounds of granite from ending up in landfills by basically creating a new industry, one that gets into kitchens and bathrooms and yards, and it gets your granite any place that isn't a landfill. Don't you wish you'd thought of that? How does recycled granite do it? Well, they resize the material into user-friendly dimensions that are more efficient and economical to transport and install. Their recycled split stone tiles are split thin, allowing twice the coverage of traditional tiles, greatly reducing environmental impact. Their recycled granite pavers are 3 times stronger than concrete pavers and will never fade or wear. And their Green Abilities program provides opportunities for folks with disabilities. They go through a recycled granite artisan apprentice certification. The program teaches them how to specifically use those products. You want more information? Give them a call at 800-692-4642. 800-692-4642, recycledgranite.com.
Energy efficiency is what the folks at ComEd call it. It puts $700 million back into your wallet.
ComEd's energy efficiency programs save you hundreds of millions of dollars with lighting discounts, fridge recycling, and AC rebates. So visit ComEd.com/home savings. ComEd, powering lives.
$700 million, and it's all for you and me. So get in on the green with energy efficiency.
This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
Brought to you by ComEd's energy efficiency programs.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at illinoisolar.org for more details.
Talk fast, mister. You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. For great growing results, I suggest you try Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Milorganite Fertilizer is one of the oldest branded fertilizers on the market today. It is derived from heat-dried microbes that have digested the organic material in wastewater. This water is then treated with microbes to digest nutrients that are found in it. The resulting microbes are then dried, becoming Milorganite fertilizers. By the way, the Milorganite program is one of the world's largest recycling efforts. Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you. Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Wait a second. I guess I have to play this for Rob once.
DINOMIKE.com.
The Mike Novak Show.
Thank you. We've got Kay Havens in the studio from the Chicago Botanic Garden and Scott Hoffman Black on the phone from the Xerces Society based in Portland, but all over the country. Scott, you guys need a branch in Chicago.
Yes, we do. I'll be there. Maybe I'll start looking for one as I'm there next week.
Just look for a headquarters here. I'm going to get to the bee thing first, but let's get back to the monarchs and what's happening at the Chicago Botanic Garden on Friday. So what's the plan of action, Kay?
Well, the plan of action is an all-day symposium. We start at 9 a.m. and go to 4:30 p.m. We'll be featuring Gary Nabhan as our keynote speaker. He'll be talking about food chain restoration and what that means both for pollinators and for human food security. Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple of folks talking about the plight of the monarchs and the status of monarch populations, including Chip Taylor. And then we'll talk a little bit.
Chip Taylor, by the way, we thought we were going to have him this morning. He's from Monarch Watch, and we can't figure out why we can't get a hold of him. But, you know, he'll be there, so you can see him
you
on Friday.
You can talk to him on Friday.
On Friday, right. And while I stopped you, and I'm sorry about that, if folks have questions about monarchs or planting monarch flower in their yard, 773-763-9278. Would love to hear from you. We'll answer your question. 773-763-9278. The lovely Rob Carthol waiting to take your call. So back to the session.
Yeah, and then in the afternoon, we'll be covering some of the citizen science activities surrounding monarchs, ways that homeowners can get involved, school kids can get involved. We'll be talking about some local conservation efforts for butterflies in general with Doug Tarin from the Peggy Notabart Museum.
He was on the show recently. So,
and then the end of the day, we'll be winding it up with Scott, who's on the phone, and he'll be summing up the plight of the monarch and how large landscape managers can help save the species.
That's a really good point, too. Large landscape managers who I imagine until recent times shunned the use of common milkweed, who might have been willing to go with swamp milkweed or with the butterfly weed, mm-hmm. you know. But, oh, the common, it's... Yeah, are we getting better at that?
I think we are. I think for a long time it was kind of viewed as a common roadside weed.
Exactly. If you can see it on the roadside, why would you have it in your garden? Yeah. My feeling is I've tried to get roadside plants in my garden sometimes.
Because they're tough.
They are. Exactly.
And this one in particular is really lovely, and it's an important nectar source and, of course, the larval food source for monarchs.
And that's a really good point. Some people will say, well, I see monarchs on my butterfly bush.
And they're taking nectar from many flowers, and it's important to have nectar sources throughout the season for monarchs. But they can only lay their eggs and grow their caterpillars on Asclepias or milkweed.
And I think it's important to point out that there are plants, yes, there are non-natives, and perhaps even other natives that they take nectar from. But to live and grow and reproduce, monarchs must have milkweed.
Or monarch flower.
Or monarch flower. That's okay. Well, the people who are listening now know what we're talking about here. And I think that's important. Scott, I want to get back to what happened last year in Oregon. You guys had, and I say you guys, I mean the state. What a strange year. You had a 50,000 bumblebee die-off because of misuse of neonicotinoids, which is what we discussed that chemical family earlier. In Wilsonville, Oregon. But there were four different incidents in Oregon. The one in Wilsonville was the most egregious, was it not?
Yes, it was by far the largest, but we know of four incidents of neonicotinoids being applied actually totally under the law. Nobody broke the law, and we killed in one instance 50,000 bees, in the other instance hundreds if not thousands of bees. But what I would tell you, Mike, is I think this is the tip of the iceberg. All of these, all of the events that we know about were over concrete. So when these bees died, they fell on concrete and people saw them. Mm. Most of the applications of these chemicals are in parks and in yards and in grassy areas. And you would not notice, if the grass is kind of long, you wouldn't notice even hundreds of bees in the grass. So I would contend, although we know of four, that this is a much, much bigger issue. It's likely just the tip of the iceberg.
That's disturbing because what happened in Wilsonville, apparently, and you can correct me if I'm wrong because you've been following this and covering this, is that a local commercial pesticide operator, licensed operator, was spraying linden trees that were in flower. And, of course, they were attracting bees, the bumblebees. And they were spraying with a neonicotinoid, dinotefuran, is that how you pronounce it, or dinotefuran?
Yeah, dinotefuran is how I pronounce it, but you're potato, potato.
Yeah, okay, great. Because the bees were there, they were exposed to the dinotefuran and died. What I read about that incident was that the trees were being sprayed prophylactically because the landscaper or the pesticide operator was afraid that there might be honeydew that would fall on people's cars, even though nobody had ever complained about it. Is that correct?
That's what we heard as well. And, you know, that's one of the things about these chemicals that is really problematic. the vast majority, well, I don't know, in many, many cases, they're used prophylactically. They're not needed, yet they're used as an insurance policy in case we've got a pest. And just to be clear, in that case, they were spraying while the trees were in flower. What is almost more concerning, and they shouldn't have been, but what's more concerning in the other three bee kills, the application was done in March. And it was done totally under the label regulations, and yet bees still died in the hundreds in June when the tree flowered.
Oh, my goodness. So it lasted that long? It persisted that long?
Yes. In certain plants, imidacloprid, which is the most used of these neonicotinoids, in a rhododendron, we know that it has lasted and is detectable in pollen and nectar after 6 years from one application. 6 years.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, here's what got me, because I found this out earlier this year, that the total penalties handed out in Oregon amounted to $2,886. The licensed commercial pesticide operator was fined $555. Each of two applicators was fined $555. There was a civil penalty in the amount of $407 for applying a pesticide product inconsistent with its labeling, and that was in connection to the downtown Portland, which was a different incident. I look at this and I say, well, if there's no penalty, if you can spray with impunity, you said they were done legally, but there were still 50,000 dead bees, dead bumblebees. So how do we change those laws to make it hurt when you do something stupid like that? Because what it was rampant stupidity at work here.
Yes. Yes, well, I'd say there's two things going on, and we're trying to work on both. Is one, we want better labeling, and we want labeling that has the force of law. That's the job of the Environmental Protection Agency. And because their labeling is, one, extremely ambiguous, and two, in most cases, there's no force of law behind it if you break the label. If you don't follow the label, you get a slap on the wrist. That this is very, very important that we improve the labeling for all pesticides. I see it as a right-to-know issue. You know, you can go and buy these neonicotinoids off the shelf at many, many garden stores, and it is very, very difficult and sometimes impossible to find out that they kill bees. So anybody can just, they pick them up. Oh, this will save my roses. I'll have perfect roses. Why don't I put this down? And there's nothing on the label, or it's in 9-point font on the back. The other issue is that most quote-unquote licensed applicators actually do not have to take any tests on these neonicotinoid products to understand pollinators at all. And that's really the second issue, is that we really need more mandatory education if somebody's going to be spraying these toxic insecticides, because you shouldn't be able to spray and kill 50,000 bumblebees and get a $500
fine. $500 fine. So what is it? I don't know the math on it, but it's like $10 per $5 per 10,000 bees or something like that. I don't know, or 1,000 bees. It's just ridiculous.
It's really ridiculous.
Actually, I've got Nick on the line here who's calling in. And Nick, I'm told, let's try that again. There we go. Nick, I'm told you're a licensed pesticide applicator. Nick? All right, he's listening to the radio. If you can talk to him, Rob, tell him he can't. He's got to listen to the phone, not the radio. Let me take a short break here and get back to Kay and Scott. I just had to bring that up, Scott, because when I found out what the fine was, my head exploded. I just said, you're kidding me. You got to be kidding me that this is the best we can do. Well, no wonder our pollinators are dropping dead and we're losing them at an incredible rate because we don't pay it attention and we let that. Are we back with Nick? All right. I'll tell you what, I'm still going to take the break because I don't want to get too far behind. So I'll do that, and we'll get back to Nick, who's a licensed applicator. I think he's got something to say. Kay Havens is in the studio. Scott Hoffman Black from the Xerces Society is on the phone, and we'll return in just a second. This just in from Christy Weber Farm and Garden at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. If you listened to my show last week, you learned that you're not alone if you lost boxwood or arborvitae to the record cold winter. Well, now is your chance to replace them at Christy Weber Farm and Garden. Many other garden centers are unable to stock these right now, but at Christy Weber, they have them. However, if it's just plain fun you're after, stop by the Dew Division Family Fun Fest, which is the exclusive family and kid-friendly area of Dew Division Street Fest. It all happens from 12 noon to 6 p.m. today on Hoyne between Crystal and Potomac and on Crystal between Hoyne and Damon in the city of Chicago. As usual, Christy Weber shows how connected she is to the neighborhood she lives and works in by offering the Christy Weber Farm and Garden Pony Rides. I'd take one of those. It's only a $5 donation for everything, so stop by if you're in the neighborhood. Meanwhile, go to CWFNG.com or spell it out, ChristyWeberFarmAndGarden.com. Find them on Facebook or, as I said, CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. Fresh, grow them yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at BonniePlants.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Roses have thorns. That's a flash for you guys. That's just the way they are. But they don't have to be plagued by harmful insects, disease, and mites, too. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can clear up those problems for you right away. Rose RX 3-in-1 is an easy-to-use rose and flower spray that will control pests on your prized roses and other flowers, and it's entirely natural. Bonide Rose RX 3-in-1 spray can be used on flowers, trees, and shrubs. It can even be used on most houseplants to control insects, disease, and even hard-to-control mites. So when you start to see diseases or insects invading your garden, go get Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1. It comes in a quart, ready-to-use spray for easy applications and an economical pint-sized concentrate. Bonide's Rose RX 3-in-1 can be found at Countryside Flower Shop in Crystal Lake, Kinch Village Florist in Palatine, and Matson Ace Hardware in Coal City, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
We're in the home stretch on the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Don't forget, Out Chicago with Scott and Ellen comes up right at 11 o'clock. Hope you stick around for that, too. We are talking to Scott Hoffman Black, who's on the phone. He's with the Xerces Society, and I've got Kay Havens in the studio from the Chicago Botanic Garden. And I'm going to see if I can make this phone call work this time. Nick, are you with me?
Hello.
Hi. You wanted
to, about
that. No, that's okay. Yeah, you got to be careful because folks, they tend to listen to their radio. And we're on a delay here, so you have to actually listen to the phone if you get on the line. So you're a you're a licensed pesticide applicator?
Yes, sir. I'm a certified arborist, so I do with the trees, and then I've gotten the Illinois pesticide licensing. And I'm listening, and I know with labeling, Scott was mentioning we need to do more with labeling and that. I think it goes deeper than that. I think it goes that we need to completely change our culture and actually find a way to get away from all this because, you know, I'll go out and let's say for a company I'd be working for and your salespeople will sell. If there's a tree problem with someone's got a problem with their trees. I use the example of the Austrian pines and they're plagued with Zimmerman pine moths. And one of the pesticides spray is a pesticide to kill that moth. But the pesticide doesn't distinct between moths, a Zimmerman pine moth or a butterfly in Lepidoptera. You know, it's going to kill everybody. Same thing with like imidacloprids that were used to kill emerald ash borer in the ash trees. If you use a soil drench application of that insecticide around the base of the tree, you can come back within about 10 minutes and discover a whole bunch of dead earthworms. And it's just my dilemma, and I'm sure a lot of dilemma, is how do you go about not treating these things, making, you know, this is like an employment, so we're trying to make a living for everybody, not just me, but other people as well. You know, in trying to combat these things, it's more than just labeling. We need to completely change our culture.
I couldn't agree with you more. Although there are people who will tell you that if we want to save our ash trees, this is one of the treatments. Of course, there's other treatments as well. You don't necessarily have to use imidacloprid. And you're nodding there, Kay.
Yeah, I mean there are other treatments as well, and they found that some of the imidacloprid, if you inject it into the tree, it's not as, they're finding it's not as toxic to the bees and to the pollen sometimes. But sometimes if you put more in, it might, you know, there's a variable is how much do you put in. If you put a little extra, does it affect it more or less?
I wanted Kay to address that here in the studio. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. There are things other than pesticides as well. There's breeding programs to try to create ash trees that are more resistant to emerald ash borer, and that relies on having the seeds from ashes in seed banks so that we can use them in future breeding programs.
And seeds from ashes that have survived emerald ash borer, because what is it that tree has? What characteristics does it have that we might be able to breed into a new variety of ash that will be able to withstand the attack?
Right. So one thing the garden is doing, and as well as our partners in Seeds of Success, which is a national native seed banking program, is targeting taxa like the ash to collect before they're completely wiped out and really focus on ones that appear to be somewhat resistant. And then maybe we can get away from using pesticides and really focus on planting the right plants in the right place.
But, Nick, I think your point is well taken that we have to start thinking differently. It's like when I talk to people about weeds, what the heck is a weed? And who died and made you God? And you can tell me what a weed is like clover. Clover's not a weed. I'm sorry. Clover is a nitrogen fixer. Clover's what?
Clover's wonderful.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely. But we got people out there trying to kill it. Yeah. I get people call and they go, how do I kill moss? Why do you want to kill moss? It's green. It's not, people buy moss, sell it, and make some money. Keep raising it and sell it and make some money.
Craft stores. You can buy it in a bag in a craft store and put water on it, and it's back to normal.
Right. Now, in the Pacific Northwest, it's a little different. Scott, as you know, people find moss to be pernicious. But in the Midwest, I always wonder when they're trying to kill it. Scott, I'd be interested in your take on what Nick has said.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, I was talking about specifics that we're trying to do right now, but I think we need a cultural shift. One thing we haven't pointed out is oftentimes more insecticides are used per acre, more pesticides are used per acre in urban and suburban environments than they are in agricultural environments. And I think we need, and I think Kay is right on, and we need to educate the public about the right plants in the right place. That is the first thing. And then the second thing is a few blemishes on a plant is not the end of the world. You don't need a perfect lawn. You don't need a perfect rose. And I would intend, even with ash, in the long term, do we want a toxic environment to maintain these tree species? We need to think about this in the really long term there, as we talked about breeding programs, but there are other trees that we can start to replace some of these trees with. So lots of options, but we do need a wholesale change in people's attitudes to their lawns and gardens and trees. And having them be there for wildlife and enjoyment is more important than having them be perfect without a blemish.
Great comment, Nick. Thank you so much for calling. You have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
Whoops. Sorry to cut you off there, dude. Okay. Before we wrap things up here, let's talk a little bit about World Environment Day and what you guys are doing.
Right. So World Environment Day, the garden celebrates the first Saturday in June every year. And it's the day that we showcase our environmental sustainability practices and our plant conservation practices to the public. Almost all the staff will be on site that day. They're there to answer questions. We'll have demonstrations about
On a Saturday. Oh, my goodness.
We'll be showing off our research in the science building. Folks can go to the Butterfly and Blooms exhibit, which has a wide variety of butterflies.
I've been there. It's really cool.
It's
if you
really
haven't
fun.
Been to Butterfly and Blooms, you got to go.
And then we'll have some great talks. We mentioned Tom Skilling and Don Wibbles in the morning on climate change, and then Scott Black in the afternoon on monarchs. And so I think it'll be a great day for the entire family. And
that's the idea, is we've got to get families involved in this, and it starts with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them. If we're going to change our mindset, that's where it's going to have to begin. Scott, do you want to give me a quick preview of what you're going to say? You got about a minute.
Yes. Well, I'm going to talk about the incredible journey of the monarch butterfly. This is an animal that flies 2,500 miles to forests north of Mexico City and then makes its way back over successive generations. And I'm going to talk about how we may not see this butterfly in our yards in the coming decade, but there are things that everybody can do to change this scenario so we have monarchs for future generations.
That's wonderful. I appreciate you being on the show so much, Scott. I hope I get a chance to meet you next week. I'm going to try to get over there on Friday. And Kay Havens from Chicago Botanic Garden, great seeing you again. And I'm going to let you go, Scott. But before we wrap up here, I wanted to make sure that folks knew about next week. My friend Jill Niewohner, who is the mushroom lady, when she was on my show, and you can grow your own mushrooms. And at the Oak Park Conservatory, there's going to be a workshop next week. You can go to www.mamagrows.com. It is, I wish I, okay, I hope I can find the date here. Oh, great. I don't have it in front of me. Wait, is it here? I can't find it because I don't have the, I know it's next week, and you're going to have to go to that, website there, mamagrows.com, and she's going to teach you how to grow your own mushrooms. And I know a lot of folks are interested, and it's a really cool thing to be able to do. So www.mamagrows.com. Until next week, you ready? You ready? Rob, one more time, go green or
go home.
Appreciate it.